All right. Well, as Lisa mentioned, we had such a great time on Friday night sharing Valentine's Day together, playing games and eating pizza. And so I just want to thank Reverend Kim for the idea in the first place. And to thank our three hosts who put it all on, and Reverend Kim and Dr. Jamie and Dr. Dave, who is probably still recuperating from all that pizza. And if you remember last week, I mentioned that Valentine's Day is a windfall for florists and candy makers and Hallmark stores. But the fact is that more flowers are sold on Mother's Day than on Valentine's Day, and more candy is purchased on October 28th, just a few days before Halloween. And more cards are given out at the Christmas season than any other time of the year. But we found out a fact on Friday. As we stood in the long, long line at Jet's Pizza, that Valentine's Day is the busiest day of the year, at least for that particular Jet's Pizza. Pizza for Valentine's Day, who knew? Next time, we'll picnic. So you may be wondering what all this has to do with my talk today, and it actually doesn't have anything to do with my talk today. But all that research I did last week and didn't talk about Mother's Day, and thought I'd just get that in there because I was just so amazed at the whole pizza information. But it does have one thing to do with it, at least the part where we experience the power of love by sharing our hearts together. It was just a beautiful experience. And that leads us, coincidentally, into our third Sunday in our February theme, The Power of Love. And if you've been following our exploration, then you know that there is only one love. One love in the universe, one love that flows through us, one love. But that we are looking at that love in two ways. We're looking at it as a choice that we can make in our day-to-day life while we're living this human experience that is chock full of contrasting human behaviors. And as the love that has no choice but to be what it is always. Love no matter what. And we could say that that love is the choiceless love that flows everywhere, in every direction, all the time within the universe, without deciding where it will go or how much of itself it will be when it gets there. It's just love. And while we have the human capacity to measure our expressions of love by the gallon or teaspoon, divine love is without measure because it is infinite. And because it's beyond reason and needs no reason to be itself, it's never withheld, even a little, not for any reason anywhere in the entire universe. It's this love that lives in us right now. It's there for us to share just as it is, unconditional, unwavering, and unchanging. It's the energy of life that breathes life into our every breath. It is the pulsation of being that beats our heart. We couldn't live without it, even for a moment, even if we live ignoring it. But when we become aware of that love, when we feel that love within us, even for a moment, we have no choice but to be love, no matter what, because it's the very nature and substance of our true self. And we don't need a reason to be what we already are. Of that love, we read in the book of 1 Corinthians, it does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Now, because we appear to be able to breathe on our own and our heart seems to be able to beat without feeling the love that beats it, our human interpretation of love appears to be a choice, and one that we don't always make. When we forget that there is only one love, and God is that love, and God loves everything, we look at love differently. Love becomes a personal thing that fluctuates with our mood and our attitude. It becomes a tentative offer we make to others based on rules we've set for its expression by us. Our personal sense of love is filled with a need for equal return. It's possessive, and it's filled with fear of loss and fear of rejection. To that sense of love, choicelessness feels like powerlessness. The love we believe belongs to us, and not to anyone we keep it from, has no freedom to be love. We take that personal sense of love on an ego trip with our Somebody Done Me Wrong songs playing on the radio and a whole stack of records of wrongs in our trunk. And when others don't play by our rules for love, we're easily angered. And we have plenty to say. Not only that dishonors them, but dishonors love itself. Our mind allows us to talk about love. It allows us to read about love. It allows us to think about love. But because our mind has expectations about what love should be, our mind keeps us from loving. The beautiful mystical poet Rumi wrote, "Your task is not to seek for love, but merely to seek and find all the barriers within yourself that you have built against it." Now, even though we don't always feel love alive in us, and even though we don't feel like expressing it to someone or lots of someones, it doesn't mean it isn't there for us to choose. As Shakespeare might put it, in this world, love is something we can choose to be or not to be. What we choose and what will we choose is the question. Our awareness of the love within us may fluctuate, but it never goes away altogether. And it's our willingness to choose it anyway, no matter what, in any situation, that lets us know it's there to choose. We wouldn't know. If everything were rosy all the time, we wouldn't know that love is there for us to choose and that we absolutely do not need a reason to feel it. Now, we all know. When we choose not to love, even when we feel justified in not loving someone, whether we know that person or not. But we know it doesn't feel good when we don't choose love. And if we ignore how bad it feels not to choose love, to walk around not loving someone or lots of someones, we can become sick. We feel tired. We feel sad. We feel angry. We get confused, and we lose our awareness of our inner guidance, because our inner guidance is the voice of love itself. Science of Mind tells us the belief in duality has robbed theology of power and has polluted philosophy with untruths. It has divided science against itself and has made countless thousands go through life with saddened hearts. Choosing something else instead of love is a choice against the allness of God. It's a belief that there is something else besides God to choose that is valid and true. But sacred texts tell us, he who does not love his brother who is visible, how is it possible for him to love God who is invisible? The power of love is the only power in the universe, because God is love and God is the only power in the universe. No matter what opposing power appears to be, we can choose to see it differently. Science of Mind goes on to say that more than one power would indicate a universe divided against itself, and this kind of a universe could not hold together. But the universe is still hanging in there, and it's still holding together after more than a bajillion years. And since we're hanging in there today with it, then the love that fills this universe fills us in this moment. It is everywhere in the universe. And it is everywhere in us. Now, if we require reasons to love in this world, we will likely find more reasons not to love than to love. But no matter how hard we try, love will never be a debatable theory of the mind, because, as we've said, love is not a head trip, it's a journey of the heart. Now, the French philosopher and Catholic theologian Blaise Pascal was a child prodigy, brilliant. He became a mathematician, a physicist, an inventor, and a writer. He was someone who had every reason to choose the reasoning of his mind over his heart, and he wrote, "The heart has its reasons, of which reason knows nothing." The divine love that lives in us lives in our heart. Our heart is our direct connection with the love that just is, the love that is God, the love that can be nothing else but love. We came into this human experience to realize free will, to discover self-direction, and to find that we have freedom of choice. And so we are always free to choose to be or not to be love. But if unconditional, unreasonable love feels so good to feel and feels so bad when we don't, if it does so much good for our health and our happiness and our peace of mind, if it has the power to heal us and heal the world around us, why don't we become unreasonable and do the unthinkable and love anyway? Love is all there is. No matter where its absence appears to be in us or in the world around us. Because God is all there is, no matter where the absence of God appears to be in us or the world around us. God will be in everything we see when we choose to see ourselves differently. When we choose to see ourselves as the love that can be nothing else but love. If we would know the love of God, if we would know the love God has for us, then we need to choose to love as God loves. Love everywhere we are. Let love flow in every direction without deciding where it should go or how much of it we should express. Whenever we're tempted to shame or blame or dishonor ourselves or another, when anger arises within us because we don't like what we see around us, and when we start to keep a record of wrongs done against us, we can choose to stop in the name of love. Mother Teresa puts it this way, and I know many of us have heard this before, but it's worth hearing again and again and again. People are often unreasonable, irrational, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are successful, you will win some unfaithful friends and some genuine enemies. Succeed anyway. If you are honest and sincere, people may deceive you. Be honest and sincere anyway. What you spend years creating, others could destroy overnight. Create anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, some may be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good you do today will often be forgotten. Do good anyway. Give the best you have and it will never be enough. Give your best anyway. In the final analysis, it is between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway. Namaste. All right.